I feel an urgency to get out everything that needs to be released at this time. Just want to remind you that tomorrow, the 21st of November, the album Songs of the Bridal Chamber will go live on Spotify and on YouTube, and eventually it will get to Apple as well. So do put that on your playlist, do share it with friends. It's really a call by the Holy Spirit to finish your preparations and come into intimacy and hiddenness and protection with the bridegroom at this time. So on Monday, I noticed that it was the 17th of Cheshvan in the Hillel calendar, which is the day that the judgment flood happened in Noah's time. It began to rain, the fountains of the deep and the windows of heaven opened at the same time. And I asked the Lord, Lord, is something going to be triggered in the earth realm in this period? And I want to share with you what he shared with me. Now, this is quite largely a word for the American remnant in the continent of America. However, it will affect the whole world. So it's not a comfortable word. I think there are going to be people that are probably going to judge me for releasing these words. But I have to share what the Spirit of the Lord has shared with me. And then there is confirmation from another word that I shared some time back. So I will also share parts of that with you. So when I said, is something going to be triggered in the earth realm? I asked, is the financial crash of the dollar about to start? Because Germany is already crumbling and going down like David Wilkerson said it would. And Japan has also wobbled severely. Lord, is something going to unfold? And this is what he said. Yes, daughter, there will be a landslide. Not a landslide victory like the Trump supporters are celebrating, but a landslide of judgments is going to unfold. And just as in a natural landslide, it starts with a few stones tumbling downhill, and no one takes any notice, and then suddenly the whole side of the hill plunges downwards and there is no time to escape. Are you talking about the financial realm, Lord? I asked. Yes and no, that will be part of it. But remember the man surrounded by boxing gloves. Yes, Lord, check back what I said there. As the punches are about to be pulled and people will be blindsided by blows from directions they did not expect. Oh Lord, I said, man is so small, how will we stand? Not many will keep standing, only those on their knees daily will be passed over. There will be much poverty, much suffering, a great feeling of betrayal, and waves of mourning as blow after blow strikes. Lord, is Trump going down one of the blows? Yes, daughter. He loves his country, but I cannot allow idols to stand before me, especially those my people have raised up on pedestals. Their blind loyalty and adulation is bordering on blasphemy. For they say he will save them and their way of life. They forget I keep an extensive record of the sins of this great nation. Sins against other nations, sins against its own people, sins against the most vulnerable and innocent. All these weigh down the scales in heaven's courts of justice. National pride is a stumbling block amongst my people. Do I not call them to walk as aliens and strangers in this world, looking for a heavenly kingdom? I am God, and I will tolerate no other gods before me. I gave my people what they wanted, a man of the flesh as their savior, but this will not short-circuit the judgments appointed. Remember my people dancing around the golden calf, an idol of their own making. And where was my true bondservant? Up the mountain, face to face with me. And so it is today. My faithful ones are not entangled in the affairs of this life. They sit before me, receiving instruction on how to proceed and carry out kingdom purposes. The first thing that must be destroyed is the golden calf. Shoo, Lord, I said, people are not going to react well if you allow his enemies to take him down. Yes, daughter, much violence will fill the streets. Anger at unfulfilled expectations will be the flame that lights the fuse, leading to mayhem and madness. People will lose their ability to think rationally, so great will be their grief, and so-called street justice will be the order of the day. Apply the blood to your homes and cover your loved ones in prayer. Do not slacken. Many will lose their lives and martial law will be instituted. When those fences are clamped into place, you will know it is time to walk circumspectly and set a guard before your mouth. These will be dangerous days. Be led by my spirit in all your movements and actions. Do not lean on your own understanding or the wisdom of men. So that is what he shared with me on Monday. And this morning when I prepared to do this podcast, I was praying about it and I heard the phrase accelerated evil. Accelerated evil. So he mentioned the boxing gloves. So that comes from A Banquet and a Blueprint, Part 3, which was a series I released some time back. And I want to just share parts of it with you as the Lord has directed me. This is a direct quote from that post. And then he said something very interesting. The dragon's mouth is COP28. Now, those who've listened to my podcast know that COP28 was the climate change conference that was held late last year. They've actually just had COP29 in this month of November 2024, which descended into a bit of chaos because the leader of Azerbaijan declared that oil and gas were a gift from God, and that really angered the climate change people. Anyway, I'm continuing to quote from A Banquet and a Blueprint, Part 3. He said to me, "It will flow from many directions, so many at once, that those who are not grounded on the rock will find their feet swept out from under them." I was immediately reminded of the parable Jesus told of building your house upon the rock or upon the sand. Deuteronomy 32, verse 3 and 4 says, "Our God is a rock, and there is no unrighteousness in him." Then I saw a boxing glove again. I'd seen one before, a fist in a boxing glove, when he spoke about nuclear fission. But this time, there were 7 boxing gloves, and they were all shooting out of long crisscrossing springs. You know when a jack-in-a-box comes out of a box, it's got that kind of spring that can extend. Well, I saw that boxing gloves with the hands inside were all mounted on those kind of springs, and they came from all different sides, like all different points on a clock. 7 punches all at once in a circle towards a lone person that was standing in the middle. And I heard this: "Having no escape or room to avoid these punches or any of the blows will leave people reeling." The Lord said that the person standing in the middle represents mankind. The dragon hates those made in my image. In the year of the dragon, the punches will be pulled and the only escape is for those braided to me. And that is a reference to the wings of the giant eagle that I shared about in part 2 of Banquet and a Blueprint. A day or so later, he told me that 2024 will be a very tumultuous year. I looked up tumultuous. It means full of confusion, change, and uncertainty. The etymology of the word tumultuous comes from the Latin tumultuosus. It means commotion, uproar, disorder, disturbance, and unruliness. Now we have seen that breaking out, haven't we? Then the Lord took me to Deuteronomy 32:24. It is the Song of Moses, which is the last song which he relayed from the mouth of the Lord over the people of God before he handed over the baton to Joshua and the Lord took him home. So Deuteronomy 32:24 is describing what happens to those who forget their God, worship other gods and are unmindful of him, and move him to jealousy with their vanities or their emptiness and ungodly lifestyles. Deuteronomy 32:24 says, "They shall be burnt with hunger, devoured with burning heat." There are actually seven things in verse 24 and 25, just like the seven boxing gloves. Pestilence, the teeth of beasts, and the poison of serpents of the dust. This is from the King James. "The sword without and terror within shall destroy the young man and the virgin, the suckling and the man of grey hair." In other words, all age groups of those who have forgotten the Lord will be affected. There is a sevenfold judgment being unleashed. Actually, in verse 23, he says, "I will spend my arrows upon them." That tells you God is really angry. Verse 22 says, "A fire is kindled in my anger and burns even to the lowest hell, and shall consume the earth with her increase and set on fire the foundations of the mountains." So we see this is actually a description prophetically of the day that burns like an oven, described in Malachi 4, also called the Day of the Lord. The Lord connected Deuteronomy 32, 24, and 25 with its seven judgments to Revelation 6:8, where the fourth seal is opened and the death rider rides. Let's just read that so we can get the whole context of what the Lord is connecting here, because it's important that there are these two witnesses in the Old and the New Testament. The pale horse that is riding after the fourth seal opens. "And I looked, and behold, a pale horse." That word is chloros. It also means green. It's Chloe is the word in Greek. "And the rider on the pale horse is called Death," Revelation says. "And there followed with him Hell." So this death rider on the pale horse is bringing Hell with him. He's accompanied by a whole demonic entourage. And it says power was given unto them over a quarter of the earth to kill with sword, hunger, death, and the beasts of the earth. In the Amplified Bible, those things that a fourth part of the earth slays with is listed as the sword, famine, pestilence or plague, and wild beasts. So we see that there's 1, 2, 3, 4 of the seven judgments of Deuteronomy 32 mentioned as being unleashed with the pale horse riding and the fourth seal. Now, something utterly astounding is that Deuteronomy 32:25 is the 5,784th verse in the Bible. The year 5784 in the Hebrew calendar has been for most of 2024. Can you get more convergence than that? Verse 32 of Deuteronomy 32 also tells us something. But let's start at verse 31. It says, "How could one have changed 1,000 and two put 10,000 to flight, except the rock had sold them and the Lord had delivered them up?" Now, the Babylonian church often uses the first half of this verse in intercession when talking about warfare and victory. They misquote this verse totally. They say one can chase 1,000 and two can chase 10,000. And they're talking about the church waging warfare in unity and sending the demons fleeing. But this verse is not about that. This verse is about our God, the Rock, having delivered up his people, surrendering them to these judgments. And why? Because verse 31 says, their rock is not our rock. Even our enemies know this. So what is he saying? The one that they are worshipping, the one they call God, is not the real God, the Rock. Even the unbelievers and the enemies know and can judge that what the Babylonian church is saying is God is definitely not our God, the Rock. And then it says,
amen, amen. Good morning, everybody, on this Monday morning. I wanted to start us off with Christine because I wanted us to have a reminder. Good morning, everybody. Good morning. I'm so happy to be back with you guys today. I miss it when we're not together. These prayer calls are actually really booming on the website. You wouldn't think so, but they are. I want to read you some of the countries that actually go to the website and check out what we do in these prayer calls. Okay, you have United States, Canada, South Korea, China, United Kingdom, France, Germany, Pakistan, and the Philippines. Yay! So I'm excited. We're going all over the world with the gospel. And I hope everybody had a wonderful Thanksgiving. It was me and Dennis's first one by ourselves where we had a real Thanksgiving being married. We've only been married 2.5 years. If my voice sounds really funny this morning, it's because Dennis started the wood stove, and you know how it shoots all that dust all over the house. It's messing with my lungs, but I'm waiting on an ozone machine to come, so that'll help a lot. And so anyways, we had a really nice Thanksgiving. I shared it with you guys, and I pray that all of you had a really nice Thanksgiving. Also, I want to tell you that I did a post yesterday about President Trump and his allegiance to the Noahide laws and how we're at DEFCON 5. I mean, we're at, you know, death on a stick at this point because, I mean, they're rolling in like a freight train. And so I kind of put the pieces together as far as setting up the stage of how this has escalated since Trump started back in 7 years ago. So it shows how now we have escalated to the point that he has a rabbi on Halloween, you know, the most satanic day of the year, and has him up there asking the church to come in agreement to bring in these Noahide laws. I mean, this is how utterly deceived people are right now. And it lets me know just how important this ministry has been. Because we have, along with other ministries, there's only a few, though, really, that's blown out the Noahide laws. And I just want to say that this is one of the things, remember, that always bother me about True News, because they would expose, you know, like the Zionists and all this stuff, but they never would give the final point, you know? The final point is the Noahide laws. That's the whole point of the Zionist, you know. But he never would go down that road. But now that it's all said and done, and now that we're at the end and it's all coming in, he's jumped on board with them. And it's so sad, you know. But the point is, there is a few that is still standing today that are still blowing the lid off this thing. And so it's very sad for the church, you know, that they're all clapping for it and not knowing what it is that they're agreeing to. And so that's why I had to do that article. It's like, I've got to, you know, put that together for people. So there's that. It's up on the website. And then tonight, I am interviewing Jesse James. I'm so excited about it. This will be on video. The first interview I did is when he called in last week on the prayer call. And then you guys were so gracious, you know, to allow me to go forward when I, you know, saw the opportunity there for someone that, you know, was sharing his miraculous story to be able to kind of just pause a minute and y'all let me go forward in my gift. And I appreciate it. I really do. Because it's really blessed a lot of people. And so that'll be at 6 o'clock tonight. And it I've already put the link up on Band and up on Patreon. And I'm going to be sending out a newsletter today as well, because I'm going to write an article about the missions trip. Wow. Wow, what God has done with this missions trip. I am so excited, and I am so proud of the Americans, y'all. Since I've been researching what's happening in North Carolina and in the northern part of Tennessee, the northeastern part, I have been in awe at the outpouring and love of the Americans. Because the government has let everybody down, of course, you know. And the government has lied to these people, told them it's going to give them money and doesn't do it. And the government sets up camps, but it's not for them. And these people are freezing. And so Americans are not dumb. They see what's going on, which I really believe that all this is on purpose, you know, to set up for Trump, of course. But it's to look like, you know, Biden's administration does not care about people type of deal. And according to this one guy on YouTube, he swears it's because it's a white community. You know, he swears that they're doing that because of that. Now, I can't say because I don't know, but it is really weird. I mean, when you think about it, it is just weird that you are acting like all these people are not dying. To this day, they're still dying out here, you know, and they're still recovering bodies, and you haven't sent the National Guard, you haven't sent the army out there for cleanup. You know, it is so odd. It's like they have left these people for their own. Well, y'all have to excuse me. That wood stove messes with my lungs. That's why we have to have an ozone thing. But anyway, the Americans, though, they're paying attention to, you know, what's happening out here on YouTube, you know, where they're exposing how the government has neglected these people. And so people are they're coming from all over the country. They're volunteering and they're bringing, you know, supplies and stuff like that. And so yesterday, I put some calls out there. Me and Beth, you know, we've been working together, and she's Probably going to tell you guys, Beth, I'm going to open up the line for you in a minute so you can tell what's going on in Knoxville, because she's got some really great news about what's happening there. But I have made some contacts up there, so we do have a plan. We do have a base now that we're going to be working with, because, you know, we only have one day that we can do this. So yesterday I went out to all my neighborhood here, and they were all so excited. It just gave me so much joy to see the neighbors, like, oh, we're so honored. Yes, we, you know, so I told them, put it out on your porch and I'll pick it up tomorrow. So I'll be able to load the truck up, and then I'm going to put it in boxes and label it, you know, like women's clothes or, you know, underclothes for women, because these people need everything, you know. And then I looked up in my closet, and I have my mother's beautiful purses. I have probably 10 of them. You know, she was a very stylish woman. And I looked at them purses, and I thought, you know, those purses were for such a time as this. I am sending this to them, you know, because I am cleaning this house out. And so I'll put on there, you know, women's purses. I mean, these people have lost everything. Some of them are looking for a purse, you know. And so I found a guy, because Beth, I'm here in West Tennessee. I'm between Nashville and Memphis. Beth is in the Smoky Mountains. She's up there between Knoxville and Gatlinburg. So the flooding happened in her neck of the woods. From her place all the way through North Carolina is where it's at. So because she has to work the next day, we needed somewhere real close. And we thought, well, we may just give here in Tennessee, because we have a lot of flooding areas in Tennessee. And so we found a place. We have a guy now that, you know, we're partnering with. He's a hub, what they're calling a hub. And when I researched him, he's actually a roofing company, Beth. He's a roofing company where people are bringing donations. I guess they have a warehouse, and then they deliver it. So this is what I told him. I said, I read what you're doing, sir. Me and this lady's coming. Once we drop off our stuff, I have a truck. So if you need us to deliver items to these neighborhoods, girl, that got us in the door. Yes, it did. So we will be a delivery truck. I told him, you know, we can't lift heavy stuff, but we can at least let y'all load it, and then we can take it somewhere and they can take it off, you know. But this way we can meet different people, and he is going to grant me an interview. So I'm excited. I hope to get some interviews while I'm there. And I told him we definitely want to go to neighborhoods and pray for people. So that's our heart, is to go minister to people. So I'm going to open up the line to Miss Beth. Beth, good morning.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm so excited, Beth.
I've got this whole allergy stuff going on, but don't worry about it. I live with it in the fall.
So anyway, I hear you.
I'm telling you, I get up in the mornings, and after a while, I get outside, and it burns it out a little bit, you know, and I just go on about my way. But I was even able to sing at church yesterday. I got up and gargled, you know, a little bit. I got going, so it'll go away after
That's
a while.
Good.
I mean, you know, it helps me. I don't think the others are too worried, you know, because I talk all the time. And so if Mama stays quiet a little bit, it's probably okay. Oh, my goodness.
That is funny.
It's true, though. Well, yes, I'm excited. I don't know. Like I say, I don't know how in the world we got, you know, together on this. I can't even remember. June, I know I've been praying, and I'd cry. I mean, and I'd cry. And I'd see some of the people and some of the things happening, hear about them freezing, you know, in some of those areas up on higher in the mountains, starting to be so cold. And I just thought, oh, my goodness, Lord, please, is there something I can do? I mean, and so I was just praying. And he put our hearts together because we were thinking the same way. And I just have had, you know, them neighbors and the people in the little church where I'm ministering, you know, and they've given, and I had a big old check given to me at Sunday school yesterday. So whatever it is, and if we can get a hold of something that I just really, here's my heart prayer for, and everybody, if you'll pray, that we'll actually, it's like she said, he's legit, and we'll, of course, the Holy Spirit's leading us on that. It'll be okay. But we want to find where they need, what is it they need? I mean, even with this check, what is the most needy right
I'm
going to
tell you, ready?
Where we're going?
I'm going to tell you. All right, what they need is pet supplies.
Yeah.
Baby stuff. And they need baby washing stuff and cleaning supplies.
I knew that. That was one thing that I was thinking about. So I've got to get some of that with this. And I just wondered if they, you know, because they don't even have places. You see, this is the thing. The most need, I even have propane bottles. So I don't know. You might can talk to him again. And if there's somebody that could get them on up to where that they are still in tents, the propane one bottle would last them nearly a week, you know, because there were little bunny ears going out all over the place. And so that was my one concern, too, was that heat issue. I mean, where are they at? The Amish were sending little houses, and they said no. Government said no. No, you can't use those. They're on floodplains. But they were letting them use tents. So to me, it really doesn't make sense. And somebody I noticed on there said, well, let's just put a big old two or three tarps over the top of it and disguise it as a tent. And I thought, well, but it just, that's part of it. That's what hit me hard was thinking about that. But
well, I just texted that guy and asked him what is their greatest need. I do know that a lot of these places right now are needing building supplies because they're trying to build temporary shelter because apparently FEMA is kicking them out of these little
little Amish built ones.
Tiny homes. They had tiny homes for them, and then they kicked them out.
Right. That's what I was saying. Mm-hmm. And I just think that it, to me, I don't know. I mean, I cannot imagine. And I know that one group, was it Deep Farm, a fella that we checked with, and I had another friend here that's in Farragut that has an Appalachian homestead, and she's been up there several times with some supplies and trucks. And they, like you say, there's people that are still on the mountain, and they're freezing. They're saying they don't want to leave.
Yeah, they just found a family the other day.
Yeah. So I'm going to... maybe even later, or if we get a chance, I might drive this, you know, to closer to where they need this propane and some other things that way. But yes, the warm clothing definitely, and the coats, they you know, gave me some of those, and I'll try to do that, put them in boxes too, like you, and label them. And that way it'll be so much
well, the coats, I figured out what I'm going to do with the coats and the blankets. I'm just going to put in trash bags and label it.
Well, that's a good idea, too. Yeah, I can do that.
Yeah, the boxes would be for other stuff. Yeah.
Right. That'd be a good idea because it's easier and you could actually move them around well. Okay, and even, I think I have blankets, some, but they were, here's the thing. Did it matter? Did you happen to ask him if it mattered if they were used clothing? I mean, people's own clothing from their closets, you know, if they're clean.
I don't think it matters at all. These people are distant.
I don't think so either. Yeah.
They can throw away what they don't need. But I just can't imagine that people don't need clothes, you know what I mean?
No, I know. I mean, everything was just wiped away for a lot of people. And yeah. I just feel so bad for those, you know, you've probably seen it, and you're, you know, the other people on the call have seen that up there where they didn't allow them to leave from that that industry, that plant up in Irwin, and where there were five
no, what do you mean?
Killed. Five factory workers that were killed up there in Irwin, Tennessee, because they, whoever Big Boss Man was, said that they didn't need to go home. And they're, you know, so to me, I just, it's so sad. There was a woman, she was in the, let me see if it was the Baptist. It wasn't Mars Hill Baptist. It was another church there where her son was actually the pastor to the Hispanic youth at the church. And the mother died. She was on the phone talking to him. And then that was it. She told him that she loved him and to tell all her grandchildren, you know, that she loved them.
Aww.
It was gone. But now that was up in Irwin, which is about, I think, First Baptist Irwin. They were talking about it. But that was just, it was at Nolichucky River. Really did a lot of damage to the I-26 up there too, and different places. But she evidently, you know, was one of those that was killed up there. But I just, you know, so that was really close to the, I don't know. It just is overwhelming, June, when you see there's more numbers that have died that they're saying, you know, of course.
Well, Beth, I want to tell you this, that last night I looked at, you just wouldn't believe all of the places. Beth, I'm going to have to mute you. Your phone is drowning for some reason. When you look, it's flooding all over the world. I mean, that's what's really, we know what this is. You know, we know it's HAARP and all that, but there's flooding all over the world. I mean, the devastation that's happening over there right now, you know, think about what's happening in the west part of the country right now in California and Oregon. You know, they had that bomb cyclone that hit last week, and you know, all those people are devastated. So now we've got heavy snow falling in the north. And they announced on the news last night, some places going to have like heavy rains, a month's worth of rain in one day. You know, just what's going on right now is just so traumatic. And we know that it's a part of the judgment. And so what me and Beth is asking you guys is, I would like for you to pray, for us for this trip. That would be wonderful this week. I leave on Wednesday morning, so, I will not do the prayer call on Wednesday, Thursday, or Friday because it will actually be on the road. I'm leaving, Wednesday morning. And there's a couple of people I want to visit on my way up to Knoxville that I know are going through a lot, and I think they just need a hug. So I'm going to go hug them. That's on the way. And these are people that are in our church here, you know. So anyway, all right, so the missions trip, God is really moving, and he's organizing all of our steps. And I'm very excited because Beth is just like me, evangelist at heart. I love being boots on the ground, and I am a servant at heart. That's why I told this guy, you know, when we come to you, we will serve you. He's the man in charge of the region, you know, so if we, I don't care what it is. When I used to work in the prison ministry, that's the heart I have. When I go to serve a ministry, you know, it's their vision. God gave them the mantle for it. So I'm there to serve you, you know. So when I go in the prisons, I'm serving the chaplain. So whatever assignment he gives me is what I'm going to be doing, you know. And my friend, we was going in, he was having an event, we was put in charge of prayer. And she said, I don't know if I can just sit and pray all day. It just sounds so boring. And I said, this is the best assignment we could have. And do you know that girl was blessed off her socks? Because we started out that morning. It was prisoners' parent day. And so they had their kids coming in. And these men wrote a letter to God about their children. And we got to read these letters. Wow. It's like, what an opportunity, man. You know, we get in the mind of these prisoners. Oh, she was so blessed. And one of them was talking about how he wasn't saved. And he knew all the things he had done wrong as a father. But he didn't know how to find God. So at the end of the day, guess who walked in the door? It was that prisoner. And she was able to see with her eyes him come to the Lord. You know, but those are the things that are such joys. So like when we go up there and we serve this ministry, which is what this roofing company is doing, you know, organizing all of the supplies and stuff like that. It's kind of like a ministry. So we get to serve them and take supplies across the region. So I'm excited about it. So if y'all would pray for us, that would be great. It's so wonderful seeing God work it all out, because everywhere you go, when you are on missions trips, you know, when God sends you on an assignment, everywhere you go is a divine appointment. So it's pretty cool. It's an exciting life to live serving the Lord like this. I haven't been out in a long time because I've just been online ministering, you know. So it'd be nice to get out and be with people and love on people and stuff like that. So good morning, good morning, good morning, everybody. I'm so happy to have everybody gathered together again. The Lord is good. And can y'all believe that it's already December, man? It is December. December 2nd. I mean, the way time is flying is just crazy, huh? All right. So I guess that's all of my announcements. All right, so let's go ahead and I'm going to play some music, and I want us to spend a few minutes praying in tongues and getting in the spirit. Okay, so let's start out with that this morning. Here we go.
On a hill far away, stood an old rugged cross, the emblem of suffering and shame. And I know that old cross, where the dearest and best, for a world of lost sinners, to the old rugged cross I will ever be true. It shed and wrinkled gladly bear. Then he'll call me someday to my home, where his glory forever I'll share.
So I'll cherish the cross of the Golgotha, my cross is at last I lay down. I will pray
for a crown.
Thank you, Jesus. How'd y'all like that old church music? How'd y'all do bring you back to your Baptist days, baby? God is good, ain't he? All right. Okay. Let me find the scripture I have for you guys this morning. Lord, you are good and your mercy endureth forever. You ever heard that song? Lord, you are good and your mercy endureth forever. People from every nation and tongue, from generation to generation, we worship you. Hallelujah, hallelujah, we worship you for who you are. We used to really jam out with the choir on that one. All right, here we go. This one is actually in 1 Peter chapter 1. Okay, so let's start off with verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again into a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fades not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith. Okay, now pause. Who is going to heaven? What did that scripture just say? Let's back it up. Let's go back to verse 4. To an inheritance. What is this inheritance? It is where we are grafted in. This is that grafted in. Because Jesus opened the door to the Gentiles, which means everybody. There's no more Jew, tribe, or nothing. Everybody is the same. You're either a sinner or you're not. There is no more covenants. There's no more old covenant. There's only one covenant, and his name is Jesus. So there's no more setting aside differences of race, tribe, creed, inheritance, nothing. Because everybody has the inheritance now. This is what's so beautiful about Jesus. When he died, that veil was torn. So now it's open access to the Father. So he says, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and fades not away, which means that inheritance is not leaving us. We are now opened to the Father, reserved in heaven for you. Now look, who are kept by the power of God. Not by our own power, our own might. No, by His. This is what being in Christ is. It is losing your old identity, everything that you was. This is real Christianity. Real Christianity is you really do die. I call it a funeral when you get saved, because your old self dies. Everything about your identity is gone. When you get saved, your whole rest of your life on the earth is to discover who you are in Him. His identity. So who are kept by the power of God. How? Through faith. See, this is the difference between Christianity and Hebrew roots. This NAR churches that are taking people back to Hebrew roots is hanging Jesus on the cross all over again. Why? Because it robs them of their faith. When you walk in Him, in Jesus, it's a miraculous walk. It's a walk totally dependent upon faith, unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, wherein you greatly rejoice, though now, for a season, if need be, you are in heaviness through manifold temptations. So this is a word for you guys this morning. Your heaviness is going to be broken this morning. Some of you out there are feeling very heavy with the things of this world, the things in your life. Maybe you're in ministry and it just feels heavy. People will never know what it is in ministry and the weight that you carry. But the Lord knows the weight that you carry. And so some of you this morning are feeling this heaviness that the trial of your faith, when you walk in faith and you trust in the Lord, some people, that's all they have is faith. This is what is so sad about all these people out here that are destitute. And this is coming to every citizen. Is the answer to the problem. The answer to the destitution. Like we just heard this morning from Christina Beadsworth. You know, if people don't have faith, if they don't understand real Christianity and a real understanding that this is not religion, this is a very real God that can take care of you out here in the middle of a wilderness when there's nothing. He knows you, and this is where your faith comes in. Because, see, the government wants to be the solution to the problem, even though they're acting like not like it right now. But this is where they're going with the global ID. See, right now, this is one of my theories, is that the government's kind of pulled back so that when they come back under the banner of Trump and they come back as the answer to the problem, taking this global ID, people will run to it. This is what y'all should have done anyway. You are the ones supposed to be taking care of the citizens. But we know this is not the truth. It's not the government's responsibility to take care of these people. It is the church. But see, the church, you know, this is why we're being judged right now, but it is the church's responsibility to take care of our peoples, okay? So anyway, the good thing about the church is, the ones that are the real Christians, is they know that they have a God they can cry upon. And He says, if you will keep Me first, let Me show you what a God I am. Let Me show you My miracles. Trust in Me. I'll show you. You know, but this is where we're at, and it's going to increase, this trial of our faith. being much more precious than of gold that perishes, which means we're not going to be bribed, or, you know, where they try to sell you out and offer you a golden stick, you know, to leave your God and to trust in them to take this ID and to take this new citizenship, golden era, you know, identification upon yourself, because you have to leave Jesus. This new world that they have, Jesus is not in the equation, okay? Though it be tried with fire, woo, come on now, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. This is going to be the key. We all know we're all about to be brought up before the magistrate. You know, we're all about to be tried with fire in a greater degree, you know. And may God help us to be found with praise in our mouth and walking in honor and glory at the appearing of our precious Jesus. But I'm going to read that again and just let you soak that in. Okay. Wherein you greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perishes, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise, honor, and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. You know, when I prayed with people on their deathbed back in 2013, that was my first assignment from God when He called me into full-time ministry after I graduated with my master's degree and had big plans for my life. You know, He shut all the doors and said, "You work for me, I'm your boss." So that was His first assignment as I was losing all of my material things for accepting the call. He said, "I want you to pray for people on their deathbed." I didn't know what I was doing, you know, and I've told you guys stories about people I've prayed with. And, you know, it is a really weird phenomena that most people, when they die, they go in and out of where they're going. If they go to hell, you'll know it. It's a very terrible thing. Sometimes they'll be on fire before they even take their last breath. It's because their soul is going back and forth. And like this one guy that was 101 years old that I prayed with, and I ended up writing a song about it due to a dream that God gave me. He was going back and forth to heaven. You know, this is why people will say, "Don't you see Grandma? Don't you see Mom? She's standing right there." It's because they're going back and forth. And even with my mom, you know, I saw when I was when she was dying and I was holding her head, and, you know, my brother and the other grandkids were holding her and other parts of her body. We was all with her. You know, and I saw in the spirit where Jesus walked in the room to come get her. You know, and then my brother said, you can go, Mama, with Jesus. And she took her last breath. It's a beautiful, beautiful thing when we cross over from this side into glory. You know, but it's a terrible thing if they cross over from here into hell. You know, it's a very terrible thing. One story I'll give you is my grandfather. This is what my aunt told me. Is that, now he was a very mean man. I told you the story, you know, how he beat my grandma and the kids with iron skillets and stuff. You know, just evil. And when he was dying, he told his wife he was having felt like he was having a heart attack. So he needed her to take him to the hospital. So all the kids, you know, had left the house. By the time they were 14, they ran away. You know, as soon as they could get old enough, they all ran from this man. And so they was riding down the road, and he was screaming as he was grabbing his chest, saying that he was on fire. So he asked my grandma, he said, you know, can you stop? I've got to get out. And so she stopped, and he ran over to a tree, and he's rubbing his chest against a tree, screaming that he was burning alive. And then he fell over a dead. And, you know, it's a real thing, transitioning from this life to the next. It's an instant thing. And so when I think about this scripture, you know, tried with fire, that we may be found unto praise, honor, and glory at the appearing of Jesus, because our life is but a fleeting moment, you know. And this is why, like, when we go on this missions trip this week, you know, we need to remember this, Miss Beth. You know, these people that we're going to see, we're in judgment right now. Even though they're believing this image of the beast that's being put out here, this narrative that everything's about to get better and we're going into this wonderful, glorious, global golden age, you know, we know the truth. So we need to slap them with reality, you know, remembering, not literally slap them, but be that much honest. You know, that this is judgment. You know, this is not all happening in the world for no reason. This is judgment, and you need to make sure you're ready to meet the Lord. Because those people that were swept away in this flood, how many of them was not ready? You know, we heard the story of the man that was buried up to his neck in mud. And they asked him where his family was, and he said, they're below at my feet. They scratched until 3 days ago. They were buried alive, you know, in the mud. And these, you just never know how much longer you have left. And when we as ministers of God, all of us are, as the ambassadors of heaven to these people, you know, need to make it where, you know, make them aware this is judgment, people. You need to make sure you're ready to meet the Lord. That is more important than healing or the provisions of their natural world. It is the condition of your soul is what is need saving right now, you know. So this is the difference of NAR and true Christianity. Because NAR has all these millions of people focused on the system. It is so sad. Like, we was watching Tim Sheets the other day, telling everybody, oh, we need to pray for this part of the system. We need to pray for all the decisions of all these new cabinet members. We need to, you know, he has all them coming in agreement with this beast system. So ungodly. Our focus as ambassadors of God is to get people focused on their heart. They are the temple, okay? So we need to focus that temple in the right place, not on the system. Don't worry about the system. Worry about your heart and your salvation, because there's a very real hell on the other side of this. There's a very real heaven on the other side of this, and the devil is lying to you. you know, and people are going to hate us. They are going to hate us because they hated the apostles. Yes, they did. They hated the apostles. They hated Jesus because they spoke the truth. The truth hurt so much that they picked up stones to kill Stephen. The truth hurt so much that they wanted to kill Jesus right there. And Jesus would escape right in between the masses, right in between the crowds. But we as ambassadors are supposed to be telling the people the truth, not in the delusion offering more time. People, there is no more time. Remember that dream I told you where I was on the interstate and the interstate had stopped and all these cattle was crossing the road by the thousands. Okay, so all the traffic completely stopped. So people were out of their vehicles waiting for all this cattle to cross the road. And then all of a sudden, the cattle just started falling down. Bloop, 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 bloop. And they just fell over dead. All at once, just fell over dead. Well, the fire of God come on me. And I looked over, and there's this man in this car, like four cars over or whatever. And I looked at him, and in the spirit, I knew this man was legit. I looked at him like, man of God, let's do this. And we both said in the name of Jesus, we both said, this is the judgment of God. Repent now. There is no more time. You need to repent. And then I woke up from the dream. But it's the truth of the matter. The truth is, we are here in judgment, people. None of us. We could have, because right now they're talking about the New Madrid fault line's about to blow. It's already having, some earthquakes happening, you know, smaller ones. But they say it's building up. It's not when, but if. I mean, it's not if, but when. And I'm not speaking death over us. Believe me, you know, we all need to be living so we can preach. We need people that's going to be preaching truth in this hour, okay? But when you're talking to people, you need to think of it in that manner. You could have anything happen at any time. That dream that I had a few days before Helene. Remember, I had that dream about the flood. And God let me see how these people felt when they were being overtaken by the waters. It is a horrible, horrible feeling. Because the whole time they're thinking, we're supposed to have more time. We're supposed to have more time. But there is no more time, people. The waters are overtaking these people, killing them left and right. You know, so we need to be serious. All right, let's go to verse 8. Whom having not seen, you love. Talking about our Jesus. In whom, though now you see him not, yet you believe. You rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. See, this is what we was talking about with Miss Stephanie in the UK. We was praying for her at church yesterday. Miss Stephanie has been battling cancer. She is, you know, in the natural, her body's wore out completely type of deal. And she's been going through a tremendous amount of pain and suffering all alone over there in the UK with no one to help her, you know. And we prayed yesterday, Lord, you know, of course we pray healing and whatnot, right? But we prayed that in the middle of her suffering, that a miracle would happen. That she would have this joy unspeakable rise up within her soul. That the rivers of living water that flow in this tree, you know, would just flow up and she would have so much joy in the midst of her storm. See, she's going through a storm. You know, because the truth of it is this. she is going to get healed. Whether it's on this side of glory or on that side of glory. Because God showed me when I prayed for people on their deathbed, when they died, they were healed. That is, death is no sting to a Christian. It's no sting. Where is your sting, O death? Because when we cross over, it's the best healing you could ever dream of. I mean, we're with the one we love, you know. Receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. This is Christianity. Not saving the system that is corrupt and is taken over by Satan and in a country that is no longer our country. It's been taken over by the United Nations. There is no more doubting it, people. Let the system go where this system is going to go. Because we got souls out here, and that's our job. Our job is to help people to see reality, come out of this Babylon system. That whole system is Babylon. You know that's what the great whore is. The great whore worships Babylon. It is out there cheating on God. That's what the whore is. She cheats. You know, the focus is on the system. Come out of the system. Come out of Babylon. Come out. Get your focus on heavenly things. You know, the heavenly purposes that God has for us. And let us be a lifeline to these people. You know. When we go to these people this week, the way we have to look at it is like this. When we come up on a person, the kingdom of God has come to them. Whoever God puts in our line, in our face, is who God wants there. We have the solution to their problem. We do. Because we are ambassadors of a kingdom of heaven that they know not of, possibly. If they know of, they need encouragement from heaven. They need the strength of their brothers and sisters to come up with them and to nurture them to continue in their battle. Come on now. But the ones that are not saved, we got to get their mind out of Babylon. We got to get their mind on their destination. Where do you think you're going when you die? Do you realize this is a very real, you know, none of us have, you know, our promise tomorrow. None of us. You know, so this scripture says it right here, the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Now, I need to explain to you something because most doctrine does not teach this, but this is what God revealed to me. Okay, we are, and this is what the Jews were saying that I put in that article I wrote yesterday about the Noahide laws coming in with Trump. Okay, the Jews do not like our doctrine of the Trinity. Okay, of course, they don't like Jesus anyway, but they don't like the doctrine of the Trinity, which proves Jesus, because in the Trinity doctrine, okay, we believe that, you know, we are created in his image, so we're made up of three parts, just like he is. You have God the Father, God the Son, which is Jesus, and God the Holy Spirit, okay? But they're three parts, and they're one. And how do we explain that to people? There's a couple of ways I do. One is through the human body. Okay, we are created in his image, okay? So we are a dirt suit, our bodies. This body represents our earthly rights. We have a right in the earth because our body is still here. when the time comes, this body will fall over and the destiny of that person, that soul is done. The rights of them being here is over. Okay. Then you have a spirit. Now, the spirit is what they call the conscience. The spirit is what the Holy Spirit, God, and Jesus designed each human a spirit. And this is how God revealed it to me. They were sitting around talking, and let's say Jody. Okay, Jody's on the line, so they're all sitting there saying, you know, Jody, whenever she gets saved, what is it that do we want Jody to reveal to the world about who we are? Because that's the whole point of our existence. We're going to reveal to the world that Jesus is a merciful God. You know, God is merciful. All right. So they send this spirit down to meet with an earthly body. Okay, now. They come into a human, which is a tree, okay? So it meets there, and then through conception, this little plant is born. Because remember, we're all trees in God's great garden. So you have a spirit which comes from God for a purpose. It tries to woo that little plant, that which grows up into a tree, tries to woo them to God, okay? The body is the identity of the world. It's the parents, the genealogy, what they look like, how they were raised, their environment, their culture. That's the body. So then in the middle between these two entities, say, you have the soul. Now the soul is your mind, your will, and your emotions. Okay? Now, until that tree gets saved, the mind, the will, and the emotions is led by the body. It's the flesh. Okay? Now, the spirit, in the meantime, is still trying to woo it. When that soul makes a decision that it is going to go towards the spirit side, which is their heavenly creator, when they realize that this world is bigger than itself, that there really is a God that they cannot see that created them, and they decide, I am going to give this tree that I really do accept what Jesus did as that sacrifice. He is the one that gave me access now to my God. I can really have a relationship like Adam and Eve in the garden now. So the tree surrenders to God, right? So the mind, the will, and the emotions make a decision of this tree and says, I do want to change my identity to now be in Him. I want to learn, okay, you all designed me before time began. All right, what was your plan for me? I want to be that person. I don't want to be my genealogy, what the world expects of me, what my family expects of me, what they define me as, put me in a box over here, this identity over here. I want to be this identity over here that is the unknown. I want to be in the wild blue yonder with Jesus. You know, this is the way I describe it. So what is it that you meant for me? This is what the in Him is. And then it opens up a miraculous door, because then the Holy Spirit will begin to train you like an army, and He will train you and He will show you. He is faithful. So then this mind, this will, and the emotions that's in the middle always has a battle. Do I go with the Spirit, which is the faith? Hello, it's not cookie cutter pattern like the Hebrew roots. This is the wild blue yonder over here, the faith walk. Because now you are being retrained like a baby into this new army. I'm getting into my Bible college in January. This is what I'll be teaching in January. But you are now going into an area of boot camp, into an area of training you know not of. You don't know this person. You cannot figure this person out like you can in the flesh. See, that's why the flesh is more comfortable, because it is cookie cutter and it is something that you're already familiar with and you feel a little safe over there, you know. That's why some people go back to the vomit, because they're safer over there with the vomit. In the faith, it says, when you go walking by the Spirit, you're going to suffer. This is where NAR is off again on doctrine. They don't believe you suffer. If you suffer, you're immature and stupid. That is not true. You will suffer as Jesus suffered. If you really want to be like Jesus, do you really? Do you want to have people look at you like you're a scourge of society, like Trump said in that video that I put on that article yesterday? Do you want to be looked at and treated as the scourge of society? Do you want to be a castaway like Jesus was? Do you want to, pray the way Jesus prayed? Walk the way Jesus walked? Even though Jesus was God, do you know he still asked God permission? He still went in the garden and he talked to God about his direction. He still sought God. Isn't that amazing? So should we see. So that's the whole point of living, is that the mind, the soul, which is the mind, the will, and the emotions, have to choose on a daily basis which side it's going to go. And when a person dies, the body goes back to the earth where it comes from. The spirit goes back to God. That's what it says in the Old Testament. Every spirit goes back to God. That is their conscience, and that is what he sent down here. Now, whether that person became what he meant for them to become is going to determine their destiny. Did that soul complete the mission that God wanted for that person? You know, did it recognize that God was their Savior? Did it give him his place in their life? You know, and the Lord showed me this when he gave me that dream about how we're trees in his great garden. See, every tree walking around is a hollow tree. If they don't know the Lord, they're empty. That's why you can look in people's eyes and just see there's nothing there. They're empty. But when the tree gives their life to the Lord and they surrender to God, a miraculous thing happens. The bottom of the tree grows roots, and it grows down underneath the earth into a new realm. I call this the supernatural realm, because these roots grow down and then there's rivers there of waters this world knows not of. And then the waters begin to rush up into that tree and it's like, oh, I'm alive. Wow. I can see the birds. I can see the sky. I see God everywhere. I see his beauty now. Wow. That's what happens. See, the rivers of living water, now it feels this warmth of God, because now the heavenly flow is there. And now it matches with the sunshine of Jesus. It's photosynthesis. The waters from the supernatural river from heaven comes up the tree, meets with the photosynthesis of Jesus's beautiful, glorious light. And now it makes the most beautiful fruit grow out on this tree. So the fruit that grows out on this tree is meant to give away. See, this is another thing about NAR doctrine that's terrible. Y'all got to remember, I went to two NAR Bible colleges, so I do understand their doctrine, which is why God trained me the way he did. But anyway, when you are NAR, they raise their people to tell them they have to, you know, like they have these like superstars in their kingdom, and they all gather together and they hold these conferences, and all these people follow these people by the millions, and they travel with them, and they're all, you know, sell books and stuff. So they, you go there to get this word, anointing. I need this anointing. So it's like you're eating your own fruit. It's like you go to these places, you're like, feel me. It's all about me. I want more anointing. But in true Christianity, it's directly opposite. It's all about giving. It's giving away. Okay, so your fruit, the Lord gave me a dream about this. The fruit is, one time I was in this house, and I had all these people in this house, and it's a house that God had given me. And I was on the back deck, and I was looking out the back door, and there was a tree back there with all these different kinds of fruit on it. I'm like, wow, look at this tree with all this fruit. That's so amazing. And so people started noticing this tree with the fruit. So I went out there and I was like, wow, you know. And I walked up to it and I picked a banana off and I started eating this banana. Well, then somebody from that was on the deck of the house said, throw me a banana. So I reached up and I picked a banana off the tree and I threw it at the person. Well, then the tree grew up. Somebody said, I want an apple. So I'd reach up, pull an apple and throw it at them. Every time I gave away the fruit instead of me eating it, the tree got bigger, all the way till it got all the way through the clouds, like a Jack and the Beanstalk story. And I would say, I put my hands around my mouth and I'd say, I need a banana, because this is what the people wanted. The tree would very easily bow down. It would come through the clouds and come down. And then I'd reach up and pick that banana off like pluck. It was so easy to get off that tree and be like pluck. And there was a banana. So then I would just so easily give the fruit away. So the Lord revealed to me in that dream, see, that's what our fruit is for. It's not to eat. I need more anointing, soaking music. I need more soaking, you know. I need more anointing. It's people spend so much time soaking and getting all of this good fruit within themselves instead of being out giving. You know, it's meant for us to show others, to love others, and to give it away, you know, type of deal. So the whole point that I was telling you about this story of the tree is when the human is feeling the Lord, you know, after they get saved and they begin giving their fruit away, there are people out there, other trees in the garden, that get jealous. And the Lord showed me this way in a dream. They get jealous because your tree is happy. Your tree is flourishing. Your tree is blossoming, beautiful, happy, joyful. Even though you're in a climatic storm, and the storms are raging and the wolf is growling and you're on solid ground and the, you know, your top may be waving back and forth, but your fruit is hanging on. Your Jesus is blessing you in spite of all this. And these other trees are jealous because they're angry birds. They're out there and they see what you have and how your blessings are, and this is the only way I know how to explain it. They're jealous. So they want to ruin your tree. They want to take you out. So one of the ways that the Lord showed me is one of the main ways that the enemy takes a tree out is through a fence. And he showed me this. There was a tree in the garden that was all like I was saying. Very happy, fluffy. All these other ones were mad and jealous. Well, this one was flourishing in the eyes of the Lord. Well, a devil come after the tree and shot an arrow towards the tree, and it said offense on it. So the tree looked at that arrow and reached out its palm and said, I forgive. And it bounced that old arrow right back out. So then the tree is floating back and forth. I'm so happy. I'm so happy. I love you, Lord. And then he looks up and there's another devil there. And this devil has a big old fat arrow. I mean, so big. And it said, big offense. I mean, this offense was so bad that it was to your kids that had done something to you to hurt you to the bone. All this stuff, you know. The biggest offense you could think of was that arrow. So the tree looks at that arrow and he has to decide, am I going to let that arrow in or am I going to push it back? So it thought about it for a minute. I don't know. This one hurts really, really bad. I don't know. So the tree opens its arms and says, come on in. Well, a very weird thing happens when that arrow comes in the tree. It splits the tree right in the middle of the bark. And the bark rolls back and exposes the heart. This is what the devil wanted. That heart. Because remember, Jesus says in Revelation 3:20, behold, I stand at the door and knock. He wants to come in that heart, don't he? So the devil wants that old heart. He wants to harden that heart. He wants to make it black as stone. So when the arrow hit that heart, a spirit, I saw it like a black little snake, come out of that arrow, come down the tree where all the rivers are flowing, and it went right down to the root and went clog, and it clogged up a root. Now the waters are like trying to get in, and it can't because this is clogged. It's like, what the world? So now the spirit come back up the tree, and it lodged right back in the heart. Well, the Lord showed me in this dream that a heart, when it gets saved, is a beautiful pink fleshy thing. And it's like very healthy, you know, pumping and everything. Well, when the spirit come in, that first one, it slowed the heartbeat down. Now it's like, well, all of a sudden, there come 1,000 arrows at this tree. Now that big gap had opened up that tree to a fence, now the devil knew he had an open door, baby. And there was 1,000 arrows there. Lying, cheating, stealing, yada, 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 yada. All these different manifestations of devils. Okay? They started jabbing that tree. All these black snakes going down to the bottom. Clog, clog, clog. Now the tree is drying up because the rivers are being clogged. And now the tree is like, you know, drying up through this offense. And then the fruit starts falling off because it no longer has the water to feed it. And now, instead of the sun being the photosynthesis, the sun is making the tree mad. Because now the sun is burning this dry, hollow tree. And now the heart turns solid black and the tree got mad and run out of the garden. So then, now we're standing on Judgment Day. Now we got two trees standing there. We have a tree that made it through the battles, made it through the trials, continually forgave everybody, continually worked to forgive, because we know it's a choice. We can't control other people's hearts out here. But unforgiveness and bitterness is only to dry up our own heart. So we have to make a choice whether our feelings, our mind, our will, and our emotions, believe it or not. We have to say with our mouth, to have our mouth come in agreement with heaven and just choose out of our will. I choose to forgive so-and-so. I forgive them. Lord, please forgive me for my unforgiveness, because it builds up. And that's how we get rid of that darkness in our heart. I renounce that unforgiveness. I ask you to forgive me, Lord. I do forgive, even though your mind does not want to do it. Even though, you know, your emotions are telling you, I can never forgive them. What they did to me was horrible. I can never do this. But you know that your spirit is telling you, you have to. So you just do it out of obedience to the Lord, even though your emotions and your mind and your will does not want to do it. But your obedience to the Lord, your will goes towards the Spirit. That's where speaking in tongues comes in. It helps you. So then you just say it out of your mouth and then watch God heal that blackness. Because it will breed blackness. It will breed darkness. Yes, it will. And it will take you out. So now let's go to heaven. We're on judgment day. You take these two trees. The one that made it through forgiveness and giving it to God and letting it go and trusting God, and then it dies. Then you take the other one that ended up getting hard, and then it dies. Now they're both standing before God. So the one that forgave and everything goes before God, and he says, "Well done, thy good and faithful servant. You produce much fruit for me in the kingdom. Go forth into heaven." All right. Then you have the other one that comes up. And God says, "What happened to you? I couldn't forgive." Now, Lord, you saw what they did to me. You saw how bad it was. I cannot forgive them, Lord. Mm-hmm. And then bye, I love you, honey. Have a blessed day. God bless you. Dennis is going to work. And I said, and this tree says, "But you know I can't forgive them." And then God says, "You know what? You was a useless stick. Useless. You was a stick. You bear no fruit for me in the garden." See, we're all in the garden. "You bear no fruit for me in the garden. So thus, you have to go to hell. You made that choice to go to hell. So I have to throw you in the fire. Because you was a useless stick." See, that's the difference. They quit having the rivers, or either never had the rivers. But we can only have those rivers by keeping the forgiveness and the love flowing. And the rivers from heaven flowing. That's another good little tidbit for you about speaking in tongues. Because when you speak in tongues, you are giving your tongue, which is the most unruly member, you are giving your tongue the rights by your will, okay, to allow the Spirit to speak through your fleshly body, okay, and it overrides your mind, your will, and your emotions. It overrides all that. So you're giving it preeminence of this temple, see. So you speak in tongues, and the Bible says that it comes in agreement with heaven. When you speak in tongues, it allows your body to pray prayers that are perfect. And the Spirit always knows what you need, okay? So you're allowing that prayer to go forth. That's why on these prayer calls we start out, you know, at least just 5 minutes, you know, praying in tongues to get you guys, you know, used to it. And that way, you know, it builds up your most holy faith, you know, is what that, it helps you in your spiritual walk. So let's go back to the scripture here. In verse 9, it says, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls, of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ, which was in them, did signify, when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow. So let me get this on the recording. When you're a true Christian and you will suffer like Jesus suffered, that is your glory. You know, there's a lot in the NAR realm about the glory, you know, that is misrepresented of the glory. The glory is how God gets glory in your life. You know, when people see you suffer and they see you going forward and they see that you're still praising God in the midst of the storm, He gets the glory. When God blesses you abundantly and gives you houses and cars, and yes, that really does happen. It really does. It's not just a NAR thing. That's a real thing. When the Lord does that, and what you do with that, you give the glory to the Lord. You know, the Lord gave me that house. The Lord gave me that car. The Lord, you know, you give the glory to Him because He gives you what you need. Okay? So He gets the glory. Unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look on. Oh, ain't that awesome? I've never noticed that before. That is so cool. The angels love to watch us speak in tongues. That is cool. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind. Be sober. Remember I told you about Jesse James. I believe he's on the line with us this morning. Good morning, Mr. Jesse. I'm so excited about tonight. Him and Shalom Girl, you know, she really sobered me up about President Trump and Elon, because it brought it to reality through her testimony of what it is that we're facing, a very evil, evil entity here. You know, I was too close to the president, so I kind of saw him in a different way. But after I interviewed her, it showed me, oh, no. You know, oh, man, this is evil to the bone, to the core, you know. And then when I interviewed Jesse, it sobered me up, too, about the realities of hell. You know, and the reality of, you know, how very serious we have to be when we minister to people type of deal. And hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Did y'all know that in the last book of the Bible, it's called Revelation? It's not with an S. The reason is, the revelation of Jesus Christ is about, to me, it's the moment of Revelation 18. It's a moment of when Jesus is truly revealed. The revelation of who He really is. Remember John, when he went to heaven and God showed him these things which became the book of Revelation? I believe the reason he called it the revelation of Jesus Christ is because of this epic moment that John had in heaven. And this is the moment that I believe we're at right now, and or have just passed it. okay, is where they were looking for somebody to open the seals. And there was no one that was worthy. You had to be worthy just to open the seals. And then the Lamb. I mean, John was so distraught that no one could do it. He was crying. You can imagine this moment. But the Lamb stepped forth. The revelation of who Jesus really is. I can't wait for us to do the temple. In Bible college, when we study the temple, it is such a fascinating study, the temple. Because you'll learn really who Jesus is through this temple. But anyway, so the perfect Lamb that was slain for all of mankind stepped forth and said, I am the Lamb. That is the revelation of who he is. He gave his life for us. It's really amazing. Okay, so wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind and be sober and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Everybody lift your hands right now. Say, in the name of Jesus, I receive this morning the grace bestowed unto me due to the revelation of Jesus Christ. I receive you, Lord, for all that you are, all that you will be in the days to come. In Jesus' name, amen. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust in your ignorance. See, that is the old tree before we got saved. That is the ignorance. Because it didn't know who the revelation of Jesus was. So this old tree just did as it wilt, which is what this new system is wanting everybody to do. Do as you will, as long as you do it under these Noahide laws. All right. But as he which has called you is holy, so be you holy in all manner of conversation. Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. This goes back to the NAR. I know I keep bringing them up, but the reason is because they are partnered with the beast. And this is the idealistic church that everybody sees, even in their local communities. But this is not holiness, people. That is not holiness. They are partnering with the beast. They are partnering with all these other religions. God has called us as his bride to be ye separate. We are to walk in holiness. We are to walk in a spotless dress. When you go to these places and you partner with all these other people that are partnering with the beast, you're tainting your dress. There's no other way to address it. You know, let's continue. And if you call on the Father, who without respect of persons judges according to every man's work. Why do you think he says that? Because I know it's not by works, right? We know that we don't have salvation due to works. That is true, okay? But you have to look at it like this as well. Okay, you know, actions speak louder than words. You can tell me that you love me as a husband. You love me as a child. But do your actions reflect contradict what you're saying. Come on now. Show me your works and I'll show you my faith. You know, this is what Paul says. I'll show you my faith by my works. And what that means is your actions speak louder than words. You know, this is why us in ministry, you know, we work all these hours, but it's a joy. We may be tired and, you know, from working all the hours, but it's a joy, man. I mean, we're working for the greatest boss there ever was, who rewards us more than just material things. It's so much more. The rewards is all of the little things, you know, that he does, dreams, visions, you know, it's just so much more. But you work because you love. Like Dennis, you know, I give y'all examples of being married. Well, I love Dennis with all my heart. I've never had love until Dennis. And he loves me like Jesus loves me. It's really, I see Dennis as a modern day, I know I tell y'all he's a modern day Paul, he is. But I mean, he's a modern day representative of how Jesus loves the church. Like, if he sees anything in my life that would hurt me, he will fix it. He will make all my crooked paths straight. You know, and that's how Jesus is, because he loves me. You know, he looks out for me as a husband. This, remember, before I got married, Jesus came to me in a dream and sat by my bed and talked to me about it, because I had been single 20 something years. And he kept telling me all them years, you're fixed, your husband's coming, your husband's coming. So anyways, he came to talk to me and he told me, he said, he is going to love you the way I love you. You know, but I've really, really seen that. So his works, because Dennis, he comes from a family, they're farmers. You know, they're from up north in Iowa. And his family is not emotional people. They're very, I don't know how to explain it, because it's just so opposite in my family. We're very touchy-feely, emotional, you know, lovey-lovey. Not his family. They're German. And even meeting his mother is like that. She's very astute, you know. She just sits there all quiet. She don't have opinions. She just listens to everybody. Well, that's how Dennis is. So he's not a touchy-feely guy. You know, he is. He's just a workhorse. Just like his family. But he shows me he loves me. His actions speak louder than his words. You see what I mean? Okay, so to me, that's what I see God is saying here. You know, do y'all really love me? You know, if you love me, I will see your works. You know, because with Dennis, I love Dennis. You know, I love cooking for him. I love seeing him give me an A++++ for Thanksgiving. I love serving. Like us, me and Beth, you know, going up there this week. I love the Lord so much. I will serve these people. They are the ones in the thick of it. They're the ones that God has laid on their heart to take in donations and to be a, you know, put up with all this extra workload when they didn't have to. So why should I come in there telling these people how to run their ministry? You know, coming in there, instead of having a servant's heart, coming in there and just bossing everybody and turning everybody against them and all that. It's just terrible the way people do. No, I have a servant's heart. I learned this a long time ago. When I serve a ministry, I am serving your vision. What do you need done, sir? This is what I have. I have a truck. I can't lift heavy things, but I can drive. You load that truck up and we will drive for you. We will take it to places. You know, we'll help because you have a vision. I want to help you to, you know, be successful with God. So anyways, that's a judging according to man's work. You want to serve. It's a servant's heart. Remember me telling you about me praying with that guy on his deathbed that's 102? Well, you know, he died. And I got to see him cross over into heaven. Well, at his funeral, come to find out, this man had been in the same church 75 years. He served five pastors. He served that church's vision. It wasn't a little country church. It was the biggest Baptist church in our town. But all he was a servant. You know, he just went in there and said, "Pastor, what do you need? You need me to clean the toilets? Okay, I'll clean the toilets." And that's what, because I interviewed his pastor about him being such a fascinating man. And that's what his pastor said. He just had the heart of a servant. He would just, no matter what pastor was here, he would just clean the toilets clean. He'd load stuff on the truck for missions, whatever. Just a servant at heart. You know, and that's what I see. According to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear, which means your journey, for as much as you knew that you were not redeemed with corruptible things. Our salvation definitely is not based on things. And this is what I believe is one of my end time missions. And I know it's because of what God took me through all them years when I was in Bible college and everything. And he taught me about losing everything for the call, that, you know, not to let the material things hold me back from obedience. Because obedience is where your wealth is, but you own nothing. And we are happy in this kingdom. Bam! We ought to make a t-shirt out of that one. We own nothing in Christianity, and yes, we're happy about it. Because we know that when God gives us a house or he gives us a car, it's only on loan. Everything we have is subject to God taking it back. You know, y'all ain't gonna believe this. The Lord gave me a dream last night, and he told me to give my wedding dress away. When I go up there, I am packing up my wedding dress. Can you believe that? And my first thought was, wow, God, you're just really taking everything from me. You know, he's taking my ministry, which is We Are the Bride Ministries, and Treehouse Publishers, I'm still kind of debating, because he didn't really tell me to give up Treehouse, but I was going to because of the books I had written and what's coming. So I'm praying about Treehouse, but for sure he said We Are the Bride Ministries. I was like, wow, you just really taking everything, you know. So I'm taking my dress up there. I'm going to wrap it up real pretty. And Dennis told me, he said, well, you're never going to wear that dress again. I said, that's true. I mean, it's a beautiful dress. And guess what, bride? God gave it to me. A woman in Florida paid for that dress. I had that dress specially made for me. And now the Lord is asking for that dress back. And Dennis told me, he said, you put a little note on that dress and you tell them to please let you know how they're going to use this dress. You know, but that's how the Lord is. You know, he's subject to ask for it back at any time. He gives you a car, he may tell you, he's had me give cars away. He give me cars and tell me to give them to somebody else. See, when I went on that tour 2017, he had just given me a car. And he gave me that car just for that tour. It was a sports car. I'm like, Lord, what does a woman 50 years old need with a sports car? Well, come to find out, he gave me a dream and showed me on a horse traveling across the country because I'm Cherokee Indian. And I was waving the American flag, praying along the entire border of the country, 36 states, 18,000 miles. In a sports car that was like a Mustang horse. And I drove across this country praying, you know, but the Lord showed me that, you know, he is the one that leads and guides as long as I will listen and go to the places that he tells me to go. And I did, 36 states, 18,000 miles. But when I finished that tour, do you know it was a month later he had me give that car away to some stranger I didn't even know. And I told that woman, ma'am, you don't know the glory. She was a sinner too. I said, you don't know the glory that's in that car. The experiences I had with God on the road, you know, the way he would come to me driving down the road and all that kind of stuff. You're getting the most blessed car in America. The reason God told me to give that car away is because for a year after that, he made me live in the desert with no way to go anywhere. I was stuck and had to rely on him for every necessity. Food, paying for my, my rent and stuff, everything. And he provided, he showed me, I will take care of you in the desert. He would have pastors come to me from other states and bring me food and provisions. He would bring people to me, you know. So he let me know he would take care of me in the middle of the desert. But the point is, the reason I'm telling you this, is that God, everything like that car is subject to be given back to God. We don't really own anything. He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. So once we get that in our mind that we don't really own this, we are only stewarding this. When God gave me that brand new house, I told you the story how he gave me that house. We got to design it and pick out everything. But it wasn't even a year later, God asked for it back. That was a hard one. And then sent me to Bible college with nothing but a dime and told me to give away all my furniture. I had beautiful German furniture that was intricately designed, you know, the big 12-seater table with three china cabinets, that kind of table with the beautiful cloth seats and all the claw feet and all that. He wanted it back. You know, and that's how we have to see all of our possessions are subject to God. If he wants them, he can have them. If we hold on to things too tight because we say, it's mine, mine, all mine, you know, he is subject to remove that because it has become an idol, you know. So make sure you're willing to let go when he tells you to let go, like the dress I'll be taking up there this week. So far as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things, these things is not what defines us. I don't care what nice house we have, what nice community, nice church, nice this, nice that. All of it is corruptible. As silver and gold from your vain conversations received by the traditions of your fathers. In other words, it goes back to the flesh. You know, your identity, what genealogy are you? Your expectations of your father, you know, all of those vain conversations of the cultural norm that you're used to, you know, that is your fleshly identity, and that dies. When you get saved, there's no more red, yellow, black, or white. It is only you are in him. We're all equal. This is where I keep telling the black Hebrew Israelites, you people are off, way off. Because you are not, and the same with the Jews that believe in the first covenant. All of you people are off because in Christianity, there's only one identity. That's in him. Nobody's better than anybody else. And I'll tell you this, I'll be popping this off on the white people. When I look back at, movies from the days of old and whatnot, and I see how the white people thought back then, it is terrible. You know, because they obviously didn't get this revelation that there's nobody better than anybody else. You know, we're all the same here. There's no tribe or tongue that is better than anybody else, you know. And I am embarrassed of that, and I repent, you know, to all of my other color friends and people out there, you know. I wish they would have had the revelation of that. But there's nothing we can do about that now. You know, that was then and this is now. We were all, everybody right now is born for such a time as this. We can be the change. You know, we only have so much time left, but we can walk it out right. No matter what our ancestors did, or, you know, whether wrong or right, we can be the change and do what God has called us to do right now. So it goes back to this scripture, you know, vain conversation received by the tradition of your fathers. But with the precious blood of Christ, see, this is what makes everything equal, is the precious blood. We're not identified as red, yellow, black, and white, or tribe, or creed, or nothing anymore. It's the blood. We're all accepted. We're all adopted. We're all in the kingdom of God as a lamb without blemish and without spot, that which goes back to Revelation 18 again. Can you imagine that climactic moment whenever the Lamb was revealed up there? When he says, "I am the Lamb that was without spot or wrinkle." You know, what a moment. Who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world. Uh-oh. This goes back to the destiny of every human, the spirit. Everybody is foreordained. You have a destiny that God has for you that you don't even know of. This is the faith and the identity. If I'm wrong, then what would be the purpose of faith? Because every person has a job to do in the spirit, in him. And the only way we're going to find it is through faith. That's the only way. And how do you find it? Through faith. You ask. He says, "You ask and I will give." Do you want to know what I've really called you to do and be? Do you really want to know what the potential that you have, that I see in you and I built you for? Because look at the rest of this verse. "But was manifested in these last times for you." See, you were born for right now. You wasn't born back with George Washington or, you know, anybody else in the past. You were born right now with a destiny right now. He's a right now on time God. And he designed you knowing that you would be facing the devil the way we're facing him, with technology that is so satanic, so evil, that no generation ever on earth has ever experienced. We are living in the most evilest times. But God brought you here now. So he knows what he's doing. And this is where the faith comes in. "Okay, Lord, you ordained me before the foundation of the world to be a certain way, to do a certain way, and was called for a certain purpose." And this is for everyone. Remember, there's no one better than anyone else in this kingdom. Okay? So you are a mystery waiting to be revealed. You, just like I told Dennis, you know, a couple of years ago when he came here to help with the farm when I first bought it. And I when I started watching him and seeing how unique he was, I told him, I said, "Dennis," because, you know, I've known him for years, but I only met him one time a couple of years before that at a conference, but I've never really, you know, sat and talked to him or nothing. But since I was seeing how he is just a natural person, I was like, Dennis, the world has not seen who you are. I don't think you've been revealed yet. And that's what I believe about a lot of you. I don't think you've really been revealed yet. What is this person that God has really called you to be? What if it's something totally different than what you're doing now? I mean, is that a scary thought to you? Is it, you know, how does that make you feel? You know, but you'll never know if you don't give your life up and ask God to reveal to you what it is that he has. Lord, I'm willing to be changed. You know, this is you talking to the Lord. Lord, you know, I really do believe, Lord, that you have called me for something. I mean, you know, you knew I was going to live here in this evil time. And you brought me here. You're my architect, sir. So I know with you being such a great big God that you are, that you have something for me to do. You know, something that was meant to be done and revealed to the world right now. So I am just surrendering it all to you right now, Lord. I am giving you my past, and I am giving you who I think I am, and I'm giving you what I have. I am now becoming your servant, Lord. What do you say I am? What is your opinion of me? What is your design for me? I'm giving you the pen to my book, Lord. And I'm telling you, I'm letting go. And I'm going to let you finish this book. I know I may only have a month or 6 months or a year left or 5 years. I know that you're the one in control of my time. You know the natural disasters that are going to happen and when they come to arrest and all of the things that I'm facing, like a lot of these people in the days of old. You know it all. I don't know what the rest of my chapters contain. But you do. So as of this day, I am giving you all of who I am and where I've been and what makes me me. And I am giving that person to you, Lord. All of the ugly, all of the shame, all of the glories, the accolades, everything about me, I'm laying it down right now. And I'm saying, Lord, if you can take this mess, if you can take this human and put it back on the potter's wheel, and if you can redesign this piece of clay, I'm giving you permission, Lord, by an act of my will. I am declaring I am born again. I am born again into him. I am giving you this old piece of clay. And I'm saying, Lord, please forgive me for every way that I have ever failed you as a human. And every way that I did not fulfill your expectations of me. I surrender all today, Lord. Now, I want to forgive everyone as well. So I am choosing today to forgive every person by an act of my will. Every person that has offended me and hurt me, I lay it down to you, Lord. I am taking that burden off my back, and I am giving it to you, and I am a fresh new clay. So I'm asking you, Lord, please put me back on that potter's wheel. Because I want to see what's going to come out of this, Lord. And I'm just going to live every day saying, throwing my hands up in there and say, Lord, you got the wheel. You're going to take this. You are my God. You're my King. I'm just going to praise you. I am just going to praise you in the midst of the storm and watch how you do this piece of clay. So, I worship you today. I praise you. And I'm excited. In Jesus' name, amen. So now I'm a new piece of clay. I am by an act of my will, I'm back on the potter's wheel. So it's going to be exciting to see what God does. He will take you to places you could never imagine, or even your ears will pop open. Your ears will begin to hear you'll begin to hear him. He'll give you dreams. He'll show you his way. You know. Now let's go back to the word here. But with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who by him do believe in God. Come on now. By Jesus we believe in God. That raised him from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. Isn't that beautiful? All of this in our Christendom, our life as a Christian, is all to reveal the aspects of God. You know, our hope is in God. Our life is in God. And when we meet with society out here, you know, they need to see who God is through us, you know. And that is where this comes in. Seeing you have purified your souls, that's what we just did, didn't we? We just purified our soul. How? Because we laid it down at the cross and we asked God, wash us clean, Lord, put us on that potter's wheel. In obeying the truth through the Spirit, that's the only way we can do it, not by might, remember, unto unfeigned love of the brethren. Lord, give us more love for the brethren. See that you love one another with a pure heart, fervently. Yes, Lord. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which lives and abides forever. One thing I want to tell you about the word of God that God revealed to me. When you read the Bible, it's a supernatural thing that happens. See, a Bible is made out of a tree, and you are a tree. So the words that are on that Bible are examining you as a tree. It's a supernatural phenomena. It is like examining your inner man, okay? Because your eyes are seeing the seeds from heaven. Those seeds are coming in your eyeballs. They're like swirling through your body, examining you, you know, and it is changing you when you read the word of God. Those seeds from those words come in and examines you. It's like a mirror. That's what it means, examining your face in a mirror. And then you are a tree receiving those seeds. Isn't that pretty cool? For as flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of the grass. You know what that means? It's the expression of the grass through that flower. We are here to express Jesus. Remember the book of Brock, you know, the heavenly expression. The grass withers and the flower fades away, but the word of the Lord endures forever. Isn't that beautiful? And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. Bam! We are giving you life. Hallelujah. All right, Bride. Well, that's the word I have for you today. I'm going to pray for all of us that we would seal what was said today about our identity and being in Him. So I'm going to title this today, What Does In Him Mean? Okay. All right, so let's all pray. Lord, we just thank you so much for this time we've had together. We thank you, Lord, for revealing to us what does it mean to be in you. Thank you, Lord, that you are going to take that clay and put it back on the potter's wheel, and you're going to mold us into the image for the time that we have left. You know what we're going to be facing. So we just thank you and give you praise, Lord, for all that you're doing in every one of their lives and changing them into the image that you meant for them. And we thank you, Lord, for correcting us and helping us to stay on that right path so we can stay up on the potter's wheel and not get scared and run off to the old familiar way. We need you, Lord. We put our faith and trust in you today. In Jesus' name, amen. All right.